The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, whom the world neither sees nor knows. You know the Spirit, because the Spirit abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, when I graduated high school, life was good. I'm not going to say that it was the pinnacle peak of my life, but life was good. I had good friends, which I found mostly through theater and musicals. Yes, I was in that crowd. I was president of my high school choir and in the chamber singers group as well. And, you know, this was before Abby was on the scene, of course, but I had some love interests that came into my life from time to time. It was all good. Looking at graduation was exciting because it meant a new life and a new adventure. But it also was something that was really scary because it meant a new life and a new adventure. As I remember, one of my friends who also found her way in the high school musical scene, she said to me, "You know, I don't really want to move on because I feel like I have found my life finally here." Maybe you are very much looking forward to moving on. But even so, whether you would like to or not, whether you feel like you are at the top of life in high school, or also can't wait to see Missoula in the rearview mirror, graduation means a crossroads and a new life. Things are not going to be the same. And graduation provides an opportunity to look back, once you are done taking finals, that is, recognize and appreciate the life you have currently, as well as know a new life that lies ahead. And for me, in high school, this was a little scary. There was a bridge that you had to cross right before you came to my high school, Wayzata High School in Minnesota. And after graduation, my high school put on an all-night senior graduation party, which, of course, was adrenaline-packed. And following this party, I remember sitting on this bridge, watching the sun come up with a couple of other friends. It was over. Holy moly, it was over. High school was done. How do I live life now? And you know, it doesn't even have to be high school, I think, to know this feeling. Maybe you are a parent of a high school student who will be leaving the house for the first time, and you can't imagine yet what life is going to be like without them. Or maybe it's a change of jobs that brings you out of Missoula, a place where you have lived for a long time and that you can't imagine leaving. Or maybe it's a death of a loved one where you have grown used to caring for them and now you are looking at an empty bedroom. Or maybe it's the moving out of your home Because you are a point in your life now where you don't have the health to maintain it anymore. Holy moly. It's over. This part of my life is done. How do I live life now? Our gospel text this morning continues in the Gospel of John, where Jesus is giving what biblical historians call the farewell discourse. This is the discourse before Jesus goes to the cross. And remember, if you were here last week, these words of Jesus were not just words that his fearful disciples needed to hear, but also what John's community, the community around the Gospel of John, also needed to hear. I am the way, the truth, and the life, as we read last week, were words of comfort and a laying out of the way to live one's life, not an exclusive, closed-off theological doctrine. Well, this passage, which comes right after the words of Jesus that we read last week, can also, I think, give us some clues to our life into the unknown. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. This verse kind of sticks out to me this week. And it's a fascinating verse that has multiple layers to it. But the layer that I think is perhaps the most interesting one for us today is the word to live. The Greek word that Jesus uses here is the word Zoe. Many of you may know a person named Zoe. It means life. Zoe. And this word has a very long history of translation, however, and the definition, which is kind of, it's kind of covered up a little bit in us just simply translating it as life. Because for the ancient Greeks, life was connected with movement and expanse. In fact, Xenophanes, a Greek philosopher, famously wrote and thought of Zoe as fluttering breath. Taken this way, I think, to see the connection between the two Greek words Zoe and Zoma, literally one that breathes, or the body. It's pretty stark. And so this is interesting as it points to the basic act of life that a lot of us don't really pay attention to. So maybe another way we can read this verse is because I breathe, Jesus says, you also will breathe. It's not only a coincidence in my mind that Jesus begins talking about the spirit, the pneuma, also related to soma and zoe, which we will talk about in a few weeks more at the season of Pentecost. And finally, the Greek word for I, because I breathe, as Jesus says, is probably the most famous Greek word of all. I'm sure most of you have heard of it. It's ego. It's no wonder Freud borrows this word for his famous concept of ego. It's the same thing, which means an inner self or self-image. So why is Pastor Eric giving us a lesson on ancient Greek? Well, because I think it's really, really important in the way that Jesus frames life in this passage. Where Jesus last week is very focused on externally following a way of acting, a way of behaving, a way of living, Jesus now turns to the inner life in this passage. Life is possible because Jesus is in each and every one of us. And this is where I disagree with many folks who say that, well, you know, Jesus was a great role model and we strive to follow. Well, yes, Jesus is a great external role model on how we can base our lives. But Jesus is also within each and every one of us. In order to live life, our very breath is the act and gift of God. It is also in the breath, then, that our inner and outer selves can be renewed, can be rejuvenated, can be refreshed, can be resurrected. After the sun came up on this bridge in front of my high school, I felt a beautiful, warm, humid Minnesota breeze blow through our group. We all began to sob and to hug one another. And we all left the bridge together, walking down arm in arm, going home. My heart was pumping all this time. My breath was deep. It was a different breath, a different life from when I first got on the bridge. Some of these people I have kept in contact with. Some of these people I've not seen since that moment, 14 years ago. Either way, we are all, I believe, joined in that new breath together. That for me is church. That for me is radical community, to be linked by one another's breath. Graduates, and all of those who are on the precipice of new life, remember this. Keep breathing. Keep paying attention to your breath and how it centers you and your being. And also, remember that we breathe together as a community, as a church. We are giving these quilts to all of our graduates today as a sign and symbol of breath. May they keep and help you breathing, maybe sometimes when it's hard to catch your breath. May you always know, then finally, that Jesus, your Savior, will always remain, will be in your breath whenever life begins anew. Because I breathe, you can also breathe. Thanks be to God.